The battle lines were drawn. Bob Guthrie's 3-year term as a member of the board was due to expire 4 months later at the September 1998 board meeting in Venice. He would then have to stand for re-election and would need a majority vote of the 29 board members to retain a seat on the board. Anything less would, in effect, throw him out of, say, Venice altogether. As the summer wore on, the board members discussed the crisis among themselves, and it became apparent that in addition to the power struggle between Guthrie and Lovett, there was a subterranean issue that only now came to the surface. Certain members sympathetic to Lovett had begun to feel that, say, Venice had lost its aura of exclusivity, that the Guthries had taken control of the invitation list, with the result that many of the people buying tickets and showing up at parties and galas were not our sort. It was an echo of the social divide that had split Colonel Gray's old Venice committee in the early 1970s and ended with a walkout and the creation of Save Venice. One board member who would have been the first to admit that he might not be the Lovett sort was Jack Wasserman, a New York international trade lawyer who was an associate of corporate takeover specialist Carl Icahn. Wasserman's attachment to Venice had grown out of his fascination since college with the life and poetry of Lord Byron. Wasserman was president of the Lord Byron Society of America and owned a major collection of Byron first editions. Although deeply devoted to Byron and Byron scholarship, he was by no means an academic. "Byron was useful when I came to Italy for the first time on a student ship 40 years ago," he said. "The first 2 lines of Byron's poetry got you laid every night." Wasserman was having a late lunch at a corner table in Harry's bar when I joined him. He introduced me to a well-behaved black standard poodle sitting under the table, nursing a bowl of water. The poodle had been named after the British War Secretary, who had been Lord Byron's friend, traveling companion and executor, John Cam Hobhouse. "Save Venice was my first exposure to so-called high society," said Wasserman. "My wife and I had been going to the galas for years and meeting these fancy type A people, or at least looking at them. So when they asked me to be on the board, because they didn't have a lawyer and they were growing very fast and legal questions were always coming up, I said, sure. I mean, I'm very impressed with myself. I'm on the board with Oscar de la Renta. That's very impressive people, I gotta admit. But these 2 guys, Larry and Bob, from my perspective, Larry is very glamorous, a wonderful social individual, and a very seductive man. You know, when you're in Larry's presence, you're always in a little bit of awe. He seems to have this halo around him. Bob doesn't have that. But Bob's background, his style of living, is so extraordinary that you always listen carefully to what he says. Bob and B. Guthrie work from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight like dogs. Dogs. They'll talk to anybody. People call up, "I don't like my table. I didn't like where I was sitting last night." Bob and B. take care of it. Happy to do it. No problem. Larry doesn't work on Save Venice on a daily basis. He doesn't work on a monthly basis. That isn't his function. His function is to be Mr. Glamorous and, you know, get this fancy crowd to come to the party so 300 other people will pay to be in the same room with them. That's his job, and God knows it's valuable. But he doesn't work at the parties, not the way Bob does. Larry's aloof. Aloof. It's like talking to God. I mean, he always shows up dressed in the nines in the back of his private motorboat with some princess or something. He gets out and pronounces himself pleased that things are going well, then he gets back in his boat with the princess and off he goes. It's wonderful to watch. It's imperial. I mean, I'm in awe. It's like being with the fucking Doge. But this whole thing with royalty. Somebody once told me the definition of a snob. You can be a snob upward by associating with people on a level above you, or a snob downward by dismissing people below you. Larry has an obsessive, at times scary, commitment to people of title. I mean, scary. I think Larry really believes he was born to the purple. For example, during one of the gala weeks, somebody in the English royal family died, I forget who. I remember Larry saying, "The palace has issued," to me, talking to me, I mean, like, I care. "The palace has issued a decree saying that nobody is to go to parties." This was right before a Save Venice cocktail party, so I said, But, Larry, you can go to a cocktail party. The decree isn't meant for you. And Larry said, Oh, I couldn't do that. I mean, my friends, the King of Greece, and so on. So he was not going to a cocktail party in Venice. He was going to sit home with Barbara Berlingeri because European royalty were not going to cocktail parties. I said to myself, Whoa,